Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to the Trampoline Hall podcast. I'm your host, Misha Globerman. Trampoline Hall is a lecture series that takes place in a bar in Toronto. People give lectures on all kinds of subjects, with the one restriction being that they can't lecture on subjects on which they are professionally expert. After each lecture, we take questions from the audience. A little while ago, I was running out of things to say, and so I talked to my partner, Margot Williamson, on the phone. She thought we should talk to people on the phone, just not to her. So we're going to try to talk to Laurie McGregor. Laurie McGregor is, she does a lot of things at Trampoline Hall, but I think most notably, she's the person who set up the chairs for many, many years. And the setup of the chairs is a really big part of the show. Well, let's get Laurie on the line here and see if this works here. I'm going to get her on my phone.
Hello?
Hey, Laurie.
Hello.
Hey, it's Misha calling. How are you doing?
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. I'm sitting here with Josh, and we're recording for the podcast, and we thought we'd talk to you a little bit about the chairs.
Sounds good.
Now, one of the things that you and I share is I'm obviously very fascinated with the setup of chairs, and I think I always have to mention that, like, I co-wrote a book with Sheila called The Chairs Are Where the People Go, but we both think a lot about how those chairs get set up.
Yeah, I think I spend an inordinate amount of time thinking about how those chairs get set up.
It's
probably not healthy.
Do you have any thoughts on how they get set up?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the chairs get set up pretty fastidiously to get as many people in that room as we can. I think we played around with a lot of different ways that we could possibly set up the chairs. But we wanted people to kind of feel, I guess, intense and excited about the show, but right, also about the people around them.
Right. Yeah, that's right. So tell me more about that.
Well, originally we'd wanted to angle all of the chairs so that everybody could see each other.
Right.
So that it wasn't just about the show at the front of the room, but it was also about the show of people kind of beside you. So you could see people and see their expressions while they were watching the show and while people were asking questions in the Q&A.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think we got to do that once when we had the show at Fort York.
Yeah.
That felt like the best time we'd ever achieved that effect because there was so much space.
Does it bother you that when people listen to the podcast, they can just sit wherever they want?
I don't think we need to tell people at the beginning of the podcast that in order to listen to it, they have to sit in a high-backed chair from Canadian Tire.
This is unusually forgiving of us, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, well, there you go, podcast listeners. You have Laurie McGregor's permission to sit however you like when you're listening to the podcast. But when you come to the show, you should sit exactly where we tell you to sit and no monkey business. Okay, well, thanks a lot.
Okay.
I'll see you soon.
Bye.
Once again, I should warn you, this podcast might contain mature language. And now I'll introduce the lecturer for this episode. The topic is being in the way, and the lecturer is Michael Higginson.
Hello, thank you. My name is Michael Higginson, and I'm going to be talking to you this evening about being in the way. Which is a topic I chose because it's something I worry about a lot and I feel a lot. And I don't want to presume to suggest that that I feel more in the way than anyone else does. or that I'm more sensitive to being in the way than any of you are. I'm just trying to say that it makes me feel itchy. So besides being in the way, I'm also going to talk to you about feeling in the way. And then if you'll indulge me, I'd like to briefly explore the question, am I in the way? And depending on the outcome of that, either should I get out of the way, or why do I feel in the way? So one of the places that I'm very aware of being in the way is at like a live music venue, like a concert, like Lee's Palace or something like that. And I guess part of it's maybe because I'm tall, and you know, I know people want to see the stage or whatever. But sometimes when I look behind me, I think that the crowd is less dense directly behind me. The other thing I notice is that, you know, people are always trying to get to the front of the stage for a better view or whatever, or back to the bar or to their coats or to meet their friends or whatever. And then I see them, you know, trying to get through the crowd, and I kind of try to plan routes for them. And I feel, you know, I realize that I really want to get out of their way. And so one of the things, if I can, I will try to get out of their way. And even sometimes if it's so crowded, like even if all I can do is like tense my body like a bow, you know, and then they'll walk through. And then what happens is then another person, you know, if you're trying to get through a crowd and if you see someone making their way through, you just kind of get behind them and you just sort of go with them. So then another person will go through and another person will go through. And what I've realized is happening there is that by trying to get out of the way, I have created a way that I'm now in. Another thing that I do fairly frequently is in the summer, I will buy delicious-looking berries. And I'll put them in my fridge. And every time I open my fridge, I'll see those berries there, and I'll think, man, they look good. And I'll think, you know, I really want to eat those berries. But instead of eating those berries, I get worried that by eating the berries now, I will be depriving myself at some point in the future when I might have gotten even more pleasure from eating the berries. And so I'll do that until eventually the berries rot in my fridge. This happens like every year. And I think what's going on there is that my feelings of being in the way are being in the way. They're getting in my way. So I don't know if it's maybe a subtle difference, but I think there's an important point that I think I'm hoping that those examples illustrated a bit, and that's that there's a difference between being in the way and feeling in the way. That they're distinct things. It's possible to feel in the way when you're not in the way. So I don't know if it will... To help illustrate that point... So... Is this going to work? Okay, so if you imagine, like, along this axis, if you had being in the way and not being in the way... And then here, if you had feeling in the way and not feeling in the way, and then you could think about if you think about like how much of the time you are in the way versus aren't in the way, and feel in the way versus not feel in the way, and then each of us occupies some point on this chart. And of course, the corners kind of become, you know, the corners are sort of interesting places. So if you look at the, you know, the top right here, being in the way, feeling in the way, this is like you're clumsy, and you're socially awkward. And then here, this is feeling in the way, but not in the way. That's those are your neurotics and you're guilt ridden. And then here, this is being in the way, not feeling in the way. And that's, these are like assholes and children. And, And then in this corner is not being in the way, not feeling in the way. And that's those are your super people. This is, like, I think Oprah Winfrey probably lives here. So I asked myself the question, you know, I know I feel in the way, but I asked myself the question, am I in the way? So I thought about that question for a while, and of course I realized that the question doesn't make a lot of sense as a legitimate question, because you know, there's sort of like there's this important preposition that's missing basically, when I'm talking about being in the way, I'm talking about being an obstacle or a hindrance, and that's a concept that applies between, you know, two entities. So the question really isn't, am I in the way? The question is, what am I in the way of? And I don't even know half the time. So I guess I didn't get very far with that question. But so then I did ask myself the question, given that I don't even know what I'm in the way of, but I feel in the way, why do I feel in the way? So I did a Google search. And so it turns out if you do a Google search on feelings of apprehension, there's like 420,000 hits. And if you do one on feelings of guilt, there's 1.2 million hits. But if you do a Google search on feelings of being in the way, there's only 2 hits. And none of them seem to apply, so that I didn't know what to do with that. But I did find a website called beinginthewaythe.org. And so I went, and it was in the services tab. So there's like a services tab on the webpage, and the first sentence on that, when you click on the tab, it says, we can answer almost any Christian question that might be asked. I'm not a Christian, and I don't really think of my question as a Christian question. But so far, this is the closest I'd come to finding anyone offering any sort of guidance. So I wrote to the Reverend Moore at beinginthewaythe.org with the question, why do I feel in the way? And I have to admit that, so, and he wrote back, and I have to admit, I did get a little bit, I guess, defensive, maybe, when he, in the third paragraph, if I understand him correctly, he compared answering my question to explaining how a space shuttle is constructed to a newborn baby. In that the infant has the capacity to understand, but cannot understand at the moment of explanation, that there needs to be some education and maturation first. So that said, and you know, and while I didn't really agree with his main conclusion, which was that that a way has been made that through Jesus, where we can be salvaged and returned to our original purpose, only by following Jesus and living life as outlined in the Bible can we obtain true joy, peace, and happiness. Only by being in the way can we hope to survive this world and be ready for the next. So I don't think that applies to my question. But he did raise a couple of points. There were a couple of things that, at least when taken out of context, I thought were applicable. And in particular, he said that that we are unique with self-determination and choice. That the anxiety around feeling in the way is generated not by the conditions, but by one's perception of the conditions. And that a person must accept who they are, how they are, and be comfortable within themselves and their environment. So he talked about choice and perception and self-acceptance. And then I kind of thought about that, and I realized that for me, you know, I don't want to generalize or whatever, but I do think that for me, this this sort of constant state of feeling in the way, or this anxiety towards feeling in the way. I think for me, it does have to do with my choices and sort of the lack of perception, or the lack of the ability to anticipate the ways in which my choices affect the world. And I think that's probably a problem that can't really be solved fully, that the world's too complex to understand. But that, you know, that the Reverend Moore's right, that it's by, I need the self-acceptance to sort of accept myself as being in the way, and learn to simply just be in the way. Thank you very much.
Michael Higginson, ladies and gentlemen.
You're listening to the Trampoline Hall Podcast. I'm Misha Goldman. Up next, the Q&A.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Are there any questions? Yes, you, sir. Yes.
I wonder if you can share an example of a time where you maybe asserted yourself. You know, where you weren't sure if you were in the way, and you just pushed forward anyways. Maybe ask somebody on a date or something, and tell us what that experience was like for you.
So the question is whether you can think of a time when you pushed through the feeling of being in the way,
just asserted yourself,
or asserted yourself,
and you just
asking someone on a date being an example, but not the one that you necessarily want.
I think that it's interesting because there are times when I feel like righteously in the way. Like when I cross at a crosswalk, like I push the button and point. And I never doubt it. I mean, in fact, I don't know if you guys know the crosswalk at Sterling Road, like across Dundas at Sterling Road on the bridge there, but cars really kind of whip across that bridge, and I used to live on Sterling Road, and I make a point of pressing that button, and even if a car's speeding, like I take that step, and I scare the driver, or whatever, like that. Maybe I don't see them or whatever, because I know I'm right, and I know that people need to know that there's a crosswalk there, and drive like there's a crosswalk there. So there are times when, you know, when my values, you know, when I guess I'm clear on a value judgment or something. Most of the time I'm not, but I am kind of capable of feeling certain.
But they said, I think you said I'm somewhat capable of, and then someone yelled crossing the street. And then their friends had a little laugh. Yes, you sir.
Have you ever tried to follow your bliss?
Have you ever tried to follow your bliss?
No.
Next question.
I don't know what that means, to be honest. I'm fine with no as my answer.
You're
okay with it.
You're okay with no. All right, so you cross the street, yes, follow bliss, no. We're doing okay. Yes, you.
Where are you on the chart right now?
Where are you on the chart?
Right now?
Yeah, that's a great question. Where are you right now?
I guess the longer it takes me to answer the question, I start moving up in the chart.
But it is sort of impressive if you can feel in the way when you are, like, you know, giving a lecture to people who are here to have you give the lecture. Yeah. Like, it's like, what could you be in the way of?
Well, there's a number of things. First of all, I'm aware that I'm in the way of you all getting to go home.
Right.
I'm also in the way of someone else who could have done the lecture.
That's you.
I could probably come up with more.
What happens when you meet someone else who's in the way?
What happens if you meet someone else who's in the way is the question.
I try to, if we all just veered right.
Oh, can we, you know what, can we universally make that agreement now?
Yeah.
Just we all veer right in any situation where...
Right, and also the side that the door goes out, those people should wait while the people on the inside side of the door, let them go out first. You hold the door and then you go in.
Yeah, that's it.
Because otherwise, because then you can't hold the door open because it's out and they're in your way and you gotta, you know, it just works way better the other way.
Yeah, that seems to, those seem like the right answers. Yeah, but literally, and I think figuratively too. I think we can imagine what that means figuratively without having to explain it. Anything else? Yes, you, yes.
Can you think, could you relate an example of when you dramatically got the hell out of the way?
Good question.
I felt in the way romantically before, and so maybe I've gotten out of the way in that regard.
What does that mean?
Oh, well, just like, you know, have you ever been with someone and you know that maybe like they're they should be with someone else?
You're like, oh, you really belong with that next person you're dating after me is really going to work out for you. I don't know if I actually have had that. So that's something. So you sometimes you're like, oh, I'm going to vacate this space for a.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's. It's. I mean, it's not like I do it with like convictions. I don't know if I get the hell out of the way, but to make a decision like that is sort of that's. You need a lot of sort of emotional or momentum, you know. But you do it with kindness.
Okay. So I think that's a good example. Anything else? Anything else you'd like to know? Yes. You, ma'am.
How did you think about? Feeling in the way, not feeling in the way, being in the way on an X, Y axis.
The question is, how did you, from the previous lecturer, she's like, how'd you come up with that cool chart idea? Is what she wants to know.
Well, I don't know. I guess for me, like the difference between what you feel and what you think are, it's a really fundamental difference. I think it's a really important difference. And it's one I use a lot in terms of making decisions and making choices. So, and I don't know. I guess I have a degree in science, and that's we think that way or whatever.
They use it in sciences. The graph, the X and Y axes. They're the top two axes in the sciences. So they're probably just he had extra ones lying around.
I did think about introducing a time element to it, not graphically, but at least suggesting that, you know, when you go home tonight or something, like after you've kind of figured out where you are on the graph, you could think about maybe like the spiral or whatever shape your life has taken so far, and maybe extrapolate and to where you're headed or whatever.
Whoa. I will actually do that. But I gotta go to you. You're sort of close to the middle in the back.
Do you have like a Wonder Years type narration running through your head when you're?
The question is, do you have a Wonder Years type narration running through your head at all times, or when you're feeling in the way? Or is it a narration from a different television program? Is that your question?
I probably not. It's very physical. I cannot settle down until I sort of resolve the in the way situation, and it can come up on you like the way. Here's a point that I didn't make into my lecture, but the way is changing. The way is always changing. You know, so you might be somewhere and you think you're off, you know, in the corner or whatever, and then someone like puts a chair somewhere, and then all of a sudden people need to get around the chair, and now you're in their way. So. And then you panic. Or you just move. But where I want to get is I want to get to the point where I move the chair.
Do you have strong feelings about like other people being in the way? Like if you're at a party and people are standing in the doorway, are you like, how can, like, I don't know why that's an example, but like, do you feel strongly or any other example?
No, I sympathize with them. I know how they feel.
But you don't. Like, because they might feel not in the way, right? Like, that's the...
Sorry. Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, you know. I've, you know, I will, I will tap someone on the shoulder or right. say excuse me or whatever, and I don't know. And then I guess if they blew me off or something, yeah, then I'd maybe feel.
Okay, but you're not like particularly intolerant of in the wayness in other people.
No. And if anything, I think I'm very tolerant of it.
Right. Okay. All right. Look. Yes, up in the sound booth. Yes.
Do you feel like you've developed a method of actually being able to quantify being in the way at all?
Yeah, that's a good question. Because in some way, the graph, it's almost like we can only travel along the feeling in the way axis, and then the being in the way axis is like inaccessible to us. So is there a way that you can tell whether you actually are in the way as opposed to just by reference to your feelings? Is that your question?
More or less.
Okay.
Yeah, I am convinced that there are, at any point, probably maybe an infinite, at least a number of ways that you are in. and I don't think it's possible to know them all.
Right. But they obviously matter. I mean, anytime you're casting a shadow, you're in the way, like at some level. But obviously, some of them matter more than others.
Yeah, but I'm serious. Like I think about you know, before the downturn, the media talked a lot about you know, low environmental impact or whatever, you know, and reduce your water usage or something. And you know, I started thinking, like, every time I drink a glass of water or whatever, flush a toilet or, you know, stand in the shower for like ever, you know, that I'm wasting water. But what am I gonna do? Die? Like, you know, and then I'm in the way of my mother's happiness. Like, it's just, there's nothing. It's hopeless.
All right, okay, yes, yeah.
Is there any point at which you feel like you can play with being in the way or feeling in the way? Like, so you feel in the way?
Could you, like, play with being in the way or feeling in the way?
Like, recognize that maybe you feel or are in the way, and then you decide, well, let's see what happens.
That's a good thing.
Like, this or that, like, kind of like a game.
Make a game out of it.
Well, sometimes at the office I work at, with people I like, but maybe I'm not super close with, but I like, but I just don't want to tell them I like them. I'll make it hard for them to pass me in the hall. that's me being affectionate.
So for you, like, liking someone and being in their way are, like, pretty close feelings?
Well, when you think about it.
So it's like, what it means to, like, like, so if you're married from someone, like, you're really stopping them from getting anywhere at all.
Okay. Yeah, they got to deal with me.
Yeah, all right.
Do you think that, I'm suddenly thinking, just the minister who is in the right way.
Yeah.
Like, do you think that you're actually just where everyone wants to be all the time? Like, do you think you're in these channels of, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
I don't really think there's anything special about where I am.
Because you're like, the reason you're so much in the way is because, like, you're like at the crossroads of all the action in the world kind of thing. Right, it's like, I was just standing here and they built this doorway and a road through where I am.
Maybe he knows where the channel
is. Maybe that guy knows that.
And I seek them out, or I'm drawn to them, sort of.
Way magnet. Maybe you know
the way magnet is the suggestion. You are the magnet for the way. You are the way. You are the one true way.
Well, I will think about that.
Well, I feel as long as we've given you something to think about, we can stop. Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Higginson.
Trampoline Hall was created in Toronto in the 21st century by Sheila Hetty and is hosted by me. If you enjoy the Trampoline Hall podcast, why not tell people about it? You can post a review on iTunes. That really helps us out a lot. This podcast is produced by Josh Block. Our theme music was composed by Matt Smith. Trampoline Hall is a Sumo audio podcast. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You can also find us on Twitter or Facebook if you have any comments or feedback. I'm Misha Globerman. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.